three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Steph.
Ladies and gentlemen, NBL Pocket Podcast season preview, questions for the seasons, over under win totals, the whole thing. Joe Corr, we got Andrew Canyon over there. We're just going to fly right into it. There's a lot of stuff. How you doing, Andrew?
Yep, ready to fly. Let's soar like the Eagles or the Hawks. Let's do it. did you like that NBL reference? I thought straight away, you know.
Hawks.
Yeah. See what I did there? Okay. Yeah, I started with the Eagles.
I thought you were cross promoting with the AFL Grand Finals. Like, they're not in it, pal. Magpies. Anyway, whatever. Let's jump around here. So what are we doing on this episode? Basically a season preview. We're looking at the ins and outs of the rosters of each team, the over-under predictions from Top Sport and other betting outlets. And we're making our predictions and we're looking at the talking points and the questions from each team that are going to get them to success or hold them back. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it. But before we do that, we were talking off air and we're talking about how difficult it was to find these teams' rosters in one place. Tell me about your adventure, Kane.
Oh, my goodness. So the NBL, they can arrange to get Scottie Pippen out to launch the season. But do you think they can make it easy for us to find out which players play for which team in season 2023-24? Wow. I went to the NBL website. I was like, that's fine. I can look at the rosters from there, look at each team's subpage on their website. And then looking at it, I was like, hang on a second. They've still got the teams from last year. This was last night. I don't know if it's updated today. I haven't had a chance to look. But they had last year's teams on their website yesterday with the season launching in a couple of days.
It's not a big thing.
Thing. Oh, and so I thought, that's all right. I'll go to one of their partner websites, ESPN. They often talk about being the home of basketball, right? The home of hoops. But do they have rosters? No, sirree, they do not, at least not that I could find.
I don't want to start an avalanche of shit talk, but I've been in the industry a short while, mainly at the lower levels, right? Sports media minnow, we used to call it. Luckily branched out to sports. But yeah. I'm here to say I have been behind the lens. I've looked behind the curtain a wee bit. There's no better vantage point than the bottom. That's what I always say. And I am bemused at how major sports media have no conception of what their audience, who their audience is and what they want. And I actually don't think there's the intellect for it, nor is there even the care to inquire. And I don't want to go into it too much more because I'm writing a wonderful book about my experiences. And when that's available, you can pay for it. Okay. Cause you don't pay enough out there. We've only got 30 patrons. We got we get 600 downloads a week. We got 30 patrons. Terrible.
What, cheapskates? Dig in your pockets.
No wonder this league's in the red. Cheap pricks.
We just abuse our listeners.
Not one club has said like, yeah, we don't really like it, but we'll give you $5 a month so you don't. Nope, never. And that's why someone asked me the other day, oh, do you want to go to a game? I said, I wouldn't put money in my pocket. And now that I'm kind of out of these places, we'll talk off air, but do you know how many Kings games I snuck into in the last couple of years? Anyway, we're not going to talk about that sort of stuff. That's incriminating, I believe they call it. Let's talk about the season. I want to start with this. Championship odds. Let's just go there. Who do you think's got the best championship odds?
Melbourne.
No. Keep guessing.
Is this with the bookies, right?
Bookies. Sports bet, to be precise.
Sydney.
Yeah. Sydney Kings, $4.50. Melbourne at $5.50. Perth at $5.50, New Zealand $6.50. They're their top four. Would you agree with that order?
No.
Who? No, you at Melbourne?
I put Melbourne at number one.
Really? I disagree.
Okay, that's what I like. When we disagree.
We're going to talk about that. When we talk about their over-unders, we'll talk about Melbourne more, but straight up, I disagree. With this new signing, we'll talk about it some more. It's a tough season, isn't it?
Top six
is really good.
It's really, yeah. There's going to be a team that misses out that feel like they shouldn't have missed out and probably have a fair argument to make. Mm. Already, I feel that. It's like trying to boil this down into a top four. Mm. It's brutal.
Before we get into that, we've probably got some new people come to the pod. Maybe they're interested in the NBL. if we can summarize this podcast for people, and more than what the podcast is, why someone new to it should listen.
Can you? Yeah. Would you like me to take this?
Yeah, go for it.
So the NBL podcast has probably had a number of lives. Let's go back through. I want to wind the clock back a moment.
Ooh.
This show started off as the sultry dulcet tones of Joseph Kaur.
Yeah, like an ASMR.
NBL. It was beautiful ASMR. Yeah. It was lovely. What's happened to it?
I've had many people say it was better that way.
I loved it. Look, I got into it as I was just listening to you. I was like, oh, this guy sounds so good. And then there was another life where we sort of kicked off, you and I, and we took it seriously, as we should.
Yeah.
And we worked hard at it. And then there was a third life, which was last season. And that's where we said, like, let's get official. We got NBL media accreditation. We tried to do the right thing with attending some press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
We really got to know people in the league a fair bit,
mm-hmm.
I like to say. But this year, we're off the chain, baby.
No more accred. As soon as we got those, we kind of lost them. We got them and lost them as spectacularly as stop and start. So no more accreditation.
No.
I think we're always going to be honest. I think the main thing I'd say to people coming to the thing is we're not NBL or even sports nerds. And there's nothing wrong with being a sports nerd, but we're not. We love to look at this league. We really like this league it's got an actual funky, nice history. And it's something, if you're a casual fan, you're like, NBL, should I watch this? Definitely taking a game a week. This league, if you're ever only, you know, a 4 out of 10 basketball fan, this league is worth an hour of your time a week. It really, and just check in with this pod or any of the others and just be like, okay, that's what's happening in that sports league. And I'll take in a game, you know, if it's Bryce Cotton or Jalen Adams, especially watch those two. I think you will enjoy it if you're an AFL person, just looking for something to fill in a half an hour a week. I really do. And I think it's worth it.
And I think both of us, you know, tooting our own horns a little bit, we know enough about the sport of basketball.
We have watched this league we've watched it pretty much every week for the last 3 years. We've done the pod of 4 years, 3 years, I think. I can't remember.
Yeah, man, I've been watching this league since 1987. I go a long way back with this thing. I don't know why. You know, you just get obsessed with something. And this league has been my obsession.
The NBL is like church. You know, it's always going to be open for midnight mass. They don't discriminate. Doors open. There's no doorman. You can come in and out. Even if you don't really believe in it, you can still check in and out.
Well, they do discriminate slightly. It's a bit like the Romans. The Catholics have Rome and the Vatican, and the NBL has Melbourne.
Well, it helps if you're in Melbourne. That's not
sure bad. Does.
Boy, oh boy. Let's jump into it. Let's put that to one side. MVP odds. Going back to some odds. Who do you think tops the MVP early MVP voting from the bookies?
From the bookies, okay. Let's say, well, you got to put Bryce Cotton right up there.
At the very top or right up there? I need you to be specific.
Oh, okay. I'm going to give him number one. Yep.
He is not number one. When I checked, this was about a day or two ago. Okay. He was not number one.
Okay. So this is a guessing game.
Yeah, this is fun. This is guess. Have a good
one. All right. So maybe Jalen Adams.
Nope. He's even further. Bryce Cotton, $4.50 in second. Jalen Adams, third at $6.
Milton Doyle?
Nope. Milton Doyle. Man, have a guess at Milton Doyle's. You put a dollar bet on how much you get back. Have a guess.
Jeez. I mean, you'd think like $1.15 or something.
He's not. Listen to my voice. Like, go a big number.
$1.90?
No. Cotton's $4.50, so it's bigger than $36 for Milton Doyle. He is the 16th most likely to win MVP. That to me is outrageous.
I'm putting money on tomorrow.
I think everyone should. Man, jeez. Even if you're under 18, get on this line. No, don't.
Far out.
$36 on Milton Doyle. That's crazy. Like, he's 16th below guys like Travers and.
What the?
Below Travis's top 10. It was ludicrous, people.
You're going to tell me like Aaron Baines is favorite for MVP or something?
Aaron Baines was above Doyle.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
You serious?
I think so. I can't confirm it, but I honestly think so.
Gosh.
JLA was above him. A bunch of guys who I was like, JLA's going to miss a month of the season, and he was above him. It was bizarre.
God.
Doyle, $36.
Wow. They got the intern to do this ranking.
Oh, embarrassing. But yeah, so you still haven't got the first number one.
I'm literally like thinking.
So it's not Cotton, it's not Adams, it's not Doyle. I'll give you a hint. It's from a team in the southern eastern quadrant of Australia.
What? Southeast Melbourne.
You tell me, pal.
I don't know. I'm
Mitch Creek. It's Mitch Creek. $4.33. Yeah.
On, he did not even enter my radar.
That he is the MVP favorite with Sportsbet. Yeah.
Oh,
so it goes
on.
Creek, Cotton, Adams, Pinder, Dellavedova at fifth. Dellavedova at fifth. $10.
Yeah, sure.
And Milton Doyle, 36. Crazy.
Okay, clearly.
Mental. So.
So that's why you should listen to this podcast, because we have some vague idea of what's going on as opposed to Sportsbet.
Milton Doyle is not in. How is he? He was all NBA first or second team last year. That already puts him in the top 10. And the league was stronger last year, talent-wise. What Goodness. The F? Crazy.
Yeah. All right.
Let's right. jump in. Let's look at each team. Which way do you... Let's do this in reverse alphabetical order.
Okay.
Or do you want to do it in alphabetical?
No, reverse alphabetical. Let's do
let's
it.
Let's do it. Tasmania, we had the big Milton Doyle chat. I was like, let's do Doyle and Tasmania first. So, right. So those are the people out there. We're going to look at last year's performance, do the over-under, and the overarching questions as to why this team's going to go well or poorly and why we think the over-under. So just to give you the skinny, everyone, JJ's last season, fourth, 16 wins, 12 losses, sixth in offensive rating, fourth in defensive rating. The over-under is at 12.5, Canyon. Now, before I get your answer, I'll just quickly say the outs. They lost two of their imports, Rashad Kelly and Josh Majet. Josh Majet, a fine Tasmania Jack jumper. Matt Kenyon departed. Sam McDaniel, Weeks retired. And Isaac White, a shooter, departed over to the Bullets. Coming in, the diminutive guard, Jordan Crawford, Marcus Lee, the big guy from United, Majuk Deng, Lockie Barker, Drimmick, Majuk. Probably round out the impactful ins. I'm sure there's more. They're the ones I saw on paper. But Kenyon, 12.5. Are they over? Is this a good team or a bad team?
So you're telling me, and this is just because, just want to confirm the betting, 12.5, that means they're only going to win 12.5 games in a 28-game season.
That means over, they win 13. Yeah. Under, they win just 12.
Come on.
They won 16 last year.
They're going to go well over 12.5. It's
this
not
is
even
a lock.
Close.
I'm not even going to wait for you. This is a lock on the over.
It's just without a shadow of doubt. You've got league MVP potential guy. In your team, Milton Doyle.
According to Sportsbet. According to Sportsbet, he had shit.
You got Jack McVay, who was one of the league's real improvers last season.
Jack McVay could be a top, I'm serious when I say it's top 10, 15 local. I haven't got that number down, but seriously.
Yeah.
He's in that conversation. He's a consistent 15 points at a high clip. I don't understand. He's very undervalued. Sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, I'm just going through it. Like, undervalued Fabian Krizlovic. Like, he's good. He's solid. Just going to do what he needs to. There's a lot to like about this team. Jordan Crawford, exciting new import. He'll put points on the board. There's no way they're not going to win 13 games.
You're calling this a lock. You're telling people, if you're going to bet this, I am saying people, leverage everything. Take everything you've got. Take the braces out of your children's face and put that on the line.
Yeah.
For sure.
This is a lock.
And here's my reason why. In their short life, I've got this written on my phone here. In their short life, the JJs have never finished below fourth and have already made a grand final.
Yeah.
Will their premature success continue? They've still got Roth and their roster's just as good. Last year, a lot of possessions came down to Majet having to do something miraculous late in the shot clock. And he was a good player like Majet, but that wasn't him. I feel like Jordan Crawford, the smaller guard, he is that scorer. He's more of an Adams who they had a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I just don't know how. I don't know how they. I think they're going to get better, and I certainly don't see how they drop down four games. I haven't looked at their schedule terribly closely, but it just can't happen.
Yeah, we didn't even mention they got Marcus Lee. Like
Marcus Lee is a really good player.
He's so good, so good.
And I just love this roster is the most. It feels packed. It's like a sandcastle. It's packed. Like you've just got imports that fill out the spines. Really simple. Marcus Lee, big guy. Doyle in the middle, a wing who can really switch between like three positions and handle the ball a bit. And Crawford who takes that spot. You got Jack McVay who slides in. A couple of like Drimmick was a nice little player in Adelaide. Always been around this league for a long time. And then Majuk Perth. Like I think Roth kind of saw some value in him. I just like that. I like the roster. And Magne Hurt, which is a bummer, but he's around. So
Yep. No, it's easy.
They
easy
lost a bit. Lost a bit of defense in.
That's enough of Tassie. Let's move on.
Yeah, move on. Sydney Kings. Last season, they finished top of the table. They couldn't be beat. 19-9 was their record. Third in offensive rating. Third in defensive rating. They're over under Andrew Kenyon is set at 17.5.
It's a pretty high bar, especially given this season where there's going to be so many.
They lose two more games than last year. They've hit the under.
Yep. Do you want to know where I've put them? I've put them under.
As have I. Why?
There's just too much turnover, too much churn.
Yeah.
I don't trust them to win that many games without knowing enough about them yet. You know, so I can't trust it.
For the people at home, that turnover out goes Cooks. Listen to these names on the outs: Cooks, Justin Simon, Tim Sarias, Vasiljevic, Walton Jr. That is two all NBA first teamers, I want to say, in Walton and Cooks, and an MVP. Coming back in, it's pretty good coming back in, though.
Yeah, coming back in is good.
Former league MVP Jalen Adams. Jonah Bolden, the one huge question mark that we're not even going to talk about because everyone's talked about it. Of course, it's a question mark. He's been sitting around trading Bitcoin for the past half decade. DJ Hoke.
Yep.
Alex Tui, Denzel Valentine. So three imports out, three imports in. Classic NBL. Just boom. but the thing is, this is why I'm taking the under as well. DJ Hoke, injured, going to miss a month of the season.
Yeah.
That's the two games right there.
That's impactful. Yep.
That's hugely impactful. You probably drop a game in that 4 weeks, and then he takes a while to get back. You drop a few games. Adams has had issues with injury. I've got here in my major questions, is Valentine serious? NBA guy, you know, where's his head at? Is he looking to get back to the NBA, or is he now just kind of on the circus circuit, just making a bit of cash?
Yeah.
Not sure.
Look, if I can mount an argument for Sydney, even though I've given them the under.
Yeah, do it.
You know, so they do have good – these imports are top shelf. Like,
amazing.
Okay, question marks about Valentine. But, yeah, as you say, NBA guy.
No, Valentine would be good. I'm just like –
If you stack these three imports up against any of the other triumvirates around the league –
way better than anyone.
They're really good. The Kings, they have lots of resources. You know, they've got the cash to spend. They've got the NBA coach. You know, they've got all the things that teams want.
Mm-hmm.
Money, cash, and cachet.
And owners who, when they're not, the only times they're either twiddling their thumbs, waiting for the season to start, so for relevancy, or twiddling their thumbs on Twitter, typing something provocative, irritating, whatever.
And that goes passive-aggressive. To the last point. They've got this winning culture. You know, they won the last two. There becomes a certain arrogance that comes within a team. Once you've won that many games.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Perth used to have it, no longer do.
No longer do.
You know, Sydney have it now, that confidence, arrogance, the winning culture. So you can't write them off. But indeed. I'm still going under.
I'm going under as well, and I want to give the people my rationale. Adams is an upgrade on Walton.
Yep.
But their new coach, can he continue to eke out productivity from Glover, Noy, those two in particular, and also Sean Bruce? Because those three are going to have to be dependent upon. That's their bench. And Glover was amazing in the finals under Chet Buford. And that needs to continue. And Noy is a real kind of player on the precipice. Can have good seasons, can have bad seasons, can have good game to game. It's hard to know where he is. But this coach, and this is where it comes unstuck. There's a lot of upheaval, change, as you've said. Is he the man to steer the ship? And here's what I've got written down here. Is he more than another American coach on a working holiday visa making moves that are better suited and better explained in his future NBA interviews? It's the same question that, yeah, a bit harsh. It's the same question that Chase Buford had to answer. He answered it rather profoundly and well. This new guy, you know, big smiles, ha, 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 great. But is he dressed for the job he's got? Or the one he wants back in the NBA. And I like to be that voice to say, you're not in the NBA, you're in the NBL, and act accordingly.
And to be fair, I'm just going to practice. It's Mahmoud Abdul Fattah. I will get that right by the end of the season. Mahmoud Abdul Fattah.
We're moving on. We're going back up the order. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, last season, fifth on the ladder, 15-13, sort of a disappointment. Offensive rating, second in the league. What could go wrong? Well, they were the second worst defense in the league, seventh. Oh, sorry, they were seventh. Oh, not quite bottom. Pardon me. There's 10 teams in the league. They were third bottom. Over under 13.5. Canyon, this was a toughie for me. Where do you see the Phoenix?
It was tough. I agree. I went under 13.5.
Ooh. Yeah. Why? I'm really interested. Why?
So much of this team, to me, just strikes me as meh.
speaking of that team, let me give it for the people out there. Outs: Adnam, Brokoff, Kel, Pinot, Jochi. Coming in: Tyler Cook as an injury replacement for Williams, who's out for, I think, a month or two. Will Cummings, Gack, Matt Kenyon, Craig Moller, Rhys Vaig. What don't you like about this team? What makes you go meh?
Okay, so it's still going to be how Mitch Creek goes, this team goes. I don't like that Gary Brown returns. He was good.
I've got this right here. Like, I'm surprised to see Brown return.
He was
so
good, but he
adamantly.
He wasn't great. You know, so I like that they've got Ben Ayre, so that's a bit of backup. He showed some good stuff last season. Probably the best thing they've got going for them right now is Tyler Cook in for Alan Williams, who could potentially be better.
He looked great in the blitz. I put the brakes on the Cook. But I actually heard Anstey's pod and Wirtho, and they were like, you know, they're going to cut Williams.
Yeah.
And Williams has been such a – it'd be so awkward because he's been such a
– oh, he's a mouthpiece for the league.
Mouthpiece for the league and mouthpiece for the country and just so buying in, and then to cut him. Oh, man.
What have you done for me lately?
Oh, wow. But it could happen.
It could, but I don't think it will.
No.
But what I think what makes me go meh is this is a team – like last season, they were relying on guys like Brokoff and Ruben Tarangi to give them points. This season, they're still relying on Ruben Tarangi, and they're relying on a guy like Rhys Vaig, who I just have no confidence in. No confidence in Rhys Vaig. So
Kenyon, Moller.
Yeah.
They sure up that position a little bit for me. I don't hate that as much.
Okay.
Moller was effective when he was last in the league. I liked him.
I'm just meh about this team. I'm not bought in.
You don't like Cummins? I thought he could, when he got the ball, he could get off the dribble and make something happen. I think they're a little bit more dynamic. But I look at this and I go seventh in defensive rating. That's below average. Mm. They've made Moller and Kenyon and Gack and a bit of Cook in that. I think they improved defensively. And where do you sit on Mike Kelly? We've rubbished him in the past. But I look at, you know what's funny is, it's a bit of a slight departure, but the moment Simon Mitchell was gone from this team, Adnam was out. Adnam just disappear. And it just shows you people out there, like, sometimes aptitude is not so important. Sometimes your personal relationships, and that matters more. And I was not surprised to see Adnam depart from this team. Captain just disappears with the head coach and can't find another gig. Interesting.
Yeah, what a fall from grace. But the question was asking me about Mike Kelly. He's been so up and down in his results. But ultimately, do I rate Mike Kelly? I rate him as a really good development coach. I do not rate him as a head coach. I think he's a lovely guy. I'd probably be mates with him. But would I want him coaching my NBL team, my NBL franchise? Nah.
So you think they've gotten worse? So just a reminder, they finished fifth last year. They won 15 games. They lost 13. You're taking the under. So you say they lose 13.
Yeah, I think it's not so much that they've gotten worse. The other teams have gotten better.
Mm. There's not the Illawarra easy beat. You're very right. But I think if you defend in the NBL, you're a better team. They've gotten better defensively. I took the over.
Okay.
But I'm not confident. I think the bigger question for them is casting aside the over under, is this the year they finally get out from underneath their middle of the table purgatory?
Yeah, and I don't think they do. I think they continue to be that middle of the road.
I totally agree, but I still think they hit the over because that means they just have to win half their games. That is this team right around the midpoint.
Yep.
So I'm going to go on. Let's move along. Perth Wildcats. We're going reverse alphabetical order. Perth Wildcats. Last season, they finished sixth, 15-13. Number one offensive rating in the game. Couldn't be stopped. Last in defensive rating, 10th. The over-under is set at 17.5. So the bookies think they're going to improve by 2-3 games. But Kenyon, the question is, do you think they're going to improve by 2-3 games?
This was so hard. I went back and forth on this a lot. And I ultimately went with under 17.5. But
did you come to that realization before or after the signing of this Doolittle guy?
Before.
does he, okay, I'll
let does you he move finish. The needle? Does
I'll,
he
let, I'll the let you finish your train of thought. You do
it. Yeah, so I was, the reason I went under on the 17.5, I just, they can score the ball, but they still have a number of unknowns. You've still got the Websters who can beat anything on any night. Like Corey was really good for them last season. But yeah, he's already started off the season in not great off-court form, if you want to call it that.
Corey Webster.
Yeah, Corey Webster. Ty Webster, he's not been great form on the court. He's looked pretty ordinary. I just don't trust any team with Websters in them. I just don't trust them. Pinder, you know, like he could be something real good. I like the look of Henschel. He looks good as well. But they're relying on youth a lot this season all of a sudden. They've got Saar in the middle, young guy. Henschel, young guy. Aquera, young guy. You know, a lot of youth all of a sudden. And I'm just not sure that they'll have that consistency to get to the 17, 18 wins.
You think they're going to be around the same number they were last season, 15-ish? You don't think?
Yeah, like that 17.5, I feel like it's almost bang on what they'll get.
It's the toughest line of the day, for sure.
Like, I would give them 17 wins, but would I give them 18? That's why I'm not certain.
For the people at home, let me go through the outs and the ins of note. So outs, Blanchfield, Majuk, Brady Manick, Mitch Norton, Tayshaun Thomas, and Luke Travers. They're the outs. The ins, and this is why I've ultimately gone the over. Not with great confidence, but Hyrum Harris, toughness, he helped, and rebounding. He helps that defensive rating go up from dead last. Ben Henschel, I like him. He moves the needle for me. Aquera, hard to say. Kind of took a little bit of an injury into NBL 1, unknown. Pinder, man, as good a local four as you're going to find at a spot that's been really important in the NBL. Alex Saar, I liked him in the blitz, still a little bit thin, so he moves the needle a little bit, but you know they've got to improve that defensive rating, and I think there's a couple of players who will expose him. Jordan Usher I really liked.
Tough, yeah, he looked good.
Attacked the hoop, looked strong, just a strong physical player. I liked him. And then this Doolittle guy, I got shades of Jayshon Tate.
Ah, okay.
In the body, and you know, I've only seen highlights and a little bit of game footage. Everyone looks great, right? But in the body, that Jayshon Tate, not a hugely explosive, but real tough.
Yeah.
Real tough. And I don't hate the push the head coach in Europe. That doesn't scare me so much.
Okay.
I think more coaches need to be pushed. Major questions, and you can answer this, Canyon. Is Pinder the answer in Perth? They were the 10th in defensive rating. They need to rebound and defend better. Is he the answer, yes or no?
He's the best answer they could find, so yes.
Who from the ins helps raise that defensive rating? For me, it's Harris. Pinder does. Saar does a little bit. He's so long. And Usher, and I think they're going to be a better defense, and therefore they're going to be a better team. That's why I've taken them.
Look, you're making a strong argument, and I don't really want to fight it too hard because I can totally get on board with it. Jordan Usher, I think you're right. Surprisingly, he's watching him in the blitz anyway. He seemed less impressive defensively than I expected and a lot more impressive offensively than I expected.
I concur. I just thought he was tough, and the Wildcats were as slick as duck poo last year. They were just, there was no substance, man. Empty carbs. They had no toughness. I think they get a little bit tougher. I just, a simple guy like Harris. Cotton had to work really hard last year to get open. Who set a pick for him last year? Certainly wasn't Manick. Thomas a wee bit.
Yeah.
Travers? Harris is a good, if you tell him set really hard screens, I think he'll do it. And then this new guy, Doolittle, can do the same. Pinder as well. They're a better team. I'm going the over.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yep.
New Zealand Breakers, last season they finished second. They won 18 games. They lost 10. They had the fifth best offensive rating. They had the number one defense in the NBL. Andrew Canyon, the over-under is set at 14.5. Did you go over or did you go under?
I went over.
I also went over. Why did you go over?
I like their imports and I like what Modi can do as a coach. And I think if you get your imports right, you're halfway there. You've got a coach who knows what he's doing. You're in good shape. 14 is not that. 14, 14 and a half, that's not that many. They've got a massive home court advantage as well, not to forget. Teams have to travel to New Zealand to play. So
cool.
Chalk that up 5 wins automatically. So
So you went hard on the over. You think you're not locking it, but you think they'll make it?
It was probably the second strongest lock I had after really? Tassie. Yeah, actually, maybe there was another one. It was more
well. Stronger. Here's and this is just. I agree with you. I like the way they look in the blitz, but you know the blitz. But ultimately, this is why I went over, but struggled with it. So I don't think they get four games worse, so that's why I went the over. But I'll say this: listen to their outs of consequence. Jarrell Brantley, Barry Brown, Derek Pardon. They are three really good imports. They bring in that Cheatham.
Yep.
Good player, but not Brantley, not Pardon.
No, he's athletic, but
yeah, very athletic, but not that like Brantley was an fringe NBA body, really impressive. Bryce Cotton on a wing. That's a bit much, but really good player. Peter Jackson Cartwright, nice player. Is he Barry Brown quality? Debatably, yeah, good player. But then Jessup. Jessup is a huge downgrade from. So you lose these three imports that just shored up your spine and made you the number one defense. And all of a sudden you lose them. That's why I struggle with it. But and then Mathiang comes in to replace. Come on, man. No, I'm shaking my head. You can't see it, but I'm shaking my head.
I tell you, and Finn Delaney looked terrible in the blitz.
Finn Delaney, is anyone here going, Finn Delaney's got an... Do people need to see more of Finn Delaney, or have we made up our mind? I've made up my mind, but it was a COVID year that I last saw him, so...
You're changing my mind on New Zealand now.
I actually like Penoe. I think Penoe will toughen them up a little bit. He can grab a rebound, but not a name that turns your head, you know? I think that the question is, are they four games... worse, and I put my faith in Modi that they're not like that. But the other thing as well is their point guard's hurt. McDowell White, he's gonna miss some time.
Yeah,
so they're not better. The question is whether over under.
I put my faith in Qantas that they'll screw up enough teams' travel plans that I have a really strong home court advantage.
I put my faith in Modi and Qantas. Agreed. Let's move on. Melbourne United, I feel like we're divided here. We already said at the top of the program we're divided.
Yep.
To give you the skinny, Melbourne United last season, 7th on the ladder. How did they finish 7th anyway? 15-13. 15 wins, 13 losses. Offensive rating, 7th in the league. Defensive rating, 5th. Talk about middle of the road. You're going to get hit by a truck sitting in the middle of the road. Melbourne United last season, they're over-under. Jumps. They won 15 games last year. It skyrockets to 17.5. Canyon, over, under. Give me.
They're going to go so easily over this number. It's not silly.
I've got the total opposite. With a lock.
We always do this for Melbourne, I feel like.
I've got a lock on the under. I just don't like that number. Firstly, 17.5. That's a high number.
It is.
Okay, but I'm interrupting.
Good team.
I want to really get your rationale. So I'm just going to give people the outs and ins. Outs: Humphreys, Lee, Aquera, XRM, Xavier Rathen-Mays, Rajon Tucker. Ins: Joe Lualachul, Ian Clark, Dellavedova, Tanner Krebs, Luke Travers. They're the ins and outs that I saw of major consequence. Kenyon, Andrew, AC. You've taken the over. Tell me why.
Oh, Joseph, first of all, before I give you that, I'm just going to say XRM. Wow, the guy was a voice of the league. They had him into commentary so often. He was buying a house, wasn't he? He was pledged as like a superstar. Sorry, mate.
Honestly, go to Turkey to get your hair replacement therapy and you come back and, you know, like a jealous wife or ex-wife, you come home, the rug's missing, the ice cube trays are out of the freezer, there's nothing left. You're like, I did commentary for you people. Nope, doesn't matter. You're gone.
So why have I got them over? You've got Matthew Dellavedova on a mission from God to get back into this Boomers team. Right?
What are they playing? You're buying into the same Boomers culture. What? They've got Down Under at 11 on the stereo? Who gives a shit?
Hey, man, I saw that guy come out. He was blazing from three-point range. He was shooting better than Chris Golding, which, as we know, is the nominated shooter for the Boomers. So between those two, points are plenty. Then, backing those two dudes up, you've got Ian Clark.
Yeah. I like.
Yeah. See, you know, forget the Adelaide experience. Just erase it from your brain. Everybody sucks when they go to Adelaide. Adelaide are a terrible team. He was awesome in Sydney. He'll be awesome in Melbourne. Then you've got Zach Triplett, just to back him up, another three-point shooter. But then did I not mention Oshae Ely? Yeah, that guy that just blitzed in the World Cup. Yeah, there's a lot of potential there.
I love – you done or you got more?
No, I got more.
Oh, go.
I got the forward line. I got the forward line. You've got
See, this is where I think this falls flat. And I won't interrupt. You go for it.
Okay. You got the powerhouse, Ariel Hakpoti, out to prove something.
I forgot about
it. Took Hakpoti. A year off. He's back better, stronger, better than ever. He'll be amazing this season. JLA will return. A couple of years ago, he absolutely blitzed the finals. He'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. You've got him in the backup center position. Then backing up those guys, Rob Lowe, pick and pop guy, three-point shooter, easy. Glue guy holding it all together, Luke Travers, just moving the pieces around, giving the ball around, soft dunks, nice passes. He'll do well. Tanner Krebs, wing guy, hit three. Backed up by those guys with the Melbourne veteran, Brad Newley. This squad has no weaknesses, man.
You done?
Yeah, I'm done. And we're back.
I wanted to do that so bad. Oh, dear.
Oh, wow.
Great mind.
You know what's, Zencaster.
As we take a break from, we're right in the middle of Melbourne United.
Yeah.
People want to know, over and under, who of you and I would be over and under? You know what I mean? Wow. That's a question that people are going to ask.
You cuck.
I think I would definitely be the over. Let me tell you. Canyon, you leave that ass of yours unsupervised, I'm going to chomp it up. Listen, let's talk about Melbourne United. You have them on the over. I go the under with a lock. I'm actually quite certain of it, and here's why.
All right.
We went through the outs. I don't like the people coming in. I really like Clark at Dellavedova at age 37 or 8. Don't like
Could
it.
Could be anything. Okay.
I've lived the Dellavedova and the NBL experience.
Next level.
Travers, you're putting your stock. Travers is going to be the starting power forward. He's going to come up against guys like, forgotten all the names now. Mitch Creek. He's going to have to guard Mitch Creek. Couldn't do it last year. Why would he do it now?
He's got help. He's got second line support.
Give me the five people that are going to end games for Melbourne United.
You want me to give this?
I want you to give the closing five. You're Dean Vickerman. You've had your fun. Now it's time to put the five.
All right. Hakpoti?
Hakpoti's going to end games.
Yeah. You're
going to play him and JLA together?
No, I'm assuming him at centre. I'm assuming JLA is out. So Hakpoti, I'm going to Golding. I can have Clark. Gonna have Travers. I'm gonna have Deli.
So who's sitting on the bench there?
Who's what?
Who's sitting on the bench? Ily and JLA.
Yeah, Ily and JLA.
So then when they all come back, because I've got here the final five, the best five are Deli, Ily, Golding, Clark, Travers, JLA. Mm-hmm. I don't like the fit.
Okay.
I love the defensive Dellavedova and Ily. I don't doubt that. Golding, when has he not been hurt? He was hurt before. Everyone's like, oh, why didn't he play in the Olympics? He was hurt before the tournament. Soft tissue. Again. For the third year in a row at this time of year. I'm saying he's a good player, but that's a big number. That's 18 wins in a season. That's really tough to do. Very few teams hit that mark on the over. JLA is already hurt, so he's going to miss a good month. Maybe more.
Yeah.
Just saying. And then Travers. I love Clark. Listen, don't be wrong. I really like Clark, so that's the one thing that made me think about this. But here's my question. I'm just bringing this up on the old telephone here. Ah, yes. Insert music here. Ah, Melbourne's backcourt is 99 years old. JLA is hurt for a quarter of the season, and their star local small forward dunks the ball with the ferocity of a new mum placing her swaddled firstborn into a bassinet. Are they for real?
I feel like I'm, bloody Zencaster cut out just when you were saying the best bit of that and I didn't hear it.
Let me give it another try. Melbourne's backcourt is 99 years old combined. JLA is hurt for a quarter of the season and their star local small forward dunks the ball with the ferocity of a new mum placing her swaddled firstborn into a bassinet. That's why I'm taking the under, and that's why ka-chink, I'm putting a lock on the under. They're going to win half their game, between 14 and 16, 17 games.
Wow.
And maybe they're going to be the under. It's a tight line, but they're just relying on guys who I don't trust.
Let's move on.
Illawarra Hawks, they finished 10th last year, which is dead last, 3-25. They were 10th in offensive rating, 8th in defensive rating. Their over-under is 9.5. Quickly, the rosters. Out goes Deng Deng. Is he playing in the league anymore? I don't think so. Frazier, all these imports go out. Mathiang goes. He's gone to New Zealand. In, this is important, Peatling, Blanchfield, Gary Clark, and their import who got hurt last year, Justin Robinson. Returns. Canyon, 9.5 over under. Where do you see this team?
It's pretty hard. I feel sorry for them. I'm going under. They'll be better. They'll be way better than they were last season, but I just don't know where they can find 10 wins against these other teams. It's just asking an awful lot.
I wasn't sold on Gary Clark. I like Ian. Gary. I quite like Robinson. And I like Tyler Harvey. Was under a lot of pressure last year because the team was badly, badly hurt. But, I mean, how badly hurt were they? And here's the thing. I have actually left this blank. So you went with the under. You just don't like them. Just don't think they're going to get 10 wins.
Yeah, I don't dislike them. I just don't see how they can get that many wins against the opposition they're up against. It's just too many good teams.
In research for this, I looked at their record over the last little bit. And other than those years with Gorgon, they've just been a mess. They just finished bottom. They either had Gorgon and did well, or they finished right down the bottom below 10 wins. So this was a flippity flip. What have I got on my phone here? Because I've left it blank. I haven't got an answer for you. And I don't feel like I don't feel any pressure. I'll do what I want.
Fine.
Here's my question for Illawarra going into this season, their big overarching question. In what month will rumours of the Hawks being sold, moved, going bankrupt start to arise?
That should be the over-under. Is it going to be January? Over-under January.
I've seen that stadium. It's got, like, you don't walk through a turnstile, you walk through like a patchwork of band-aids. I just can't. I just don't like the strength of that organization. But I mean, they were so hurt last year. Everyone got hurt.
Yeah.
And they won 3 games. They've only got a win. Oh man. You went the under. I'm going the under as well.
Yeah.
I want to believe in them, but I can't.
Oh, I know. I understand. Don't worry. Let's move on. Cairns Taipans.
We're moving fast. Last season, they finished 3rd, 18-10. Offensive rating, they were 8th in the league. Defensive rating, 2nd in the league. It's the got them in the finals. Their over-under is 10.5. For the people at home, the rosters, out goes Shannon Scott, Ben Eyre, Majuk Deng, DJ Hogue, Pinder. Holy moly. In comes, of consequence to me, Taron Armstrong, Patrick Miller, an import, and Josh Roberts, another import. Oh, that list of outs is pretty bad. Canyon, the line is 10.5. Are they around that mark? Are they going to be a 50-50 ball club over-under?
They're well under. 10.5. Come on.
But here's the thing. You're going to have 3 teams, because I'm assuming you've taken Adelaide under. You're going to have 3 teams winning less than 10 games. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I know. This is why I don't actually bet the money, right?
But for the reason of taking over under before with the Hawks, I'm actually taking the over on this team.
Okay. All right.
Oh, I should probably go the under on this team. And people at home, this is the tough one. Either you're over on the Taipans and under on the Hawks, or you're over on the Hawks and under on the Taipans.
Don't know where they're going to get their points from.
Oh,
who's going to score points for this team?
But they're going to defend. They were the Canyon last year. The 4 best teams in the NBL all had the top 4 defensive rating. This team was 2nd. I don't see how that really changes. They lose Pinder, who's a loss, but Majuk Deng was a cone. Hogue wasn't great. Ben Eyre was scrappy. Scott's a loss. But yeah. I feel like the Adam Ford, I'm going over, and I put my faith in Ford.
It's asking an awful lot.
I know.
Tajir McCall will be injured a fair bit. Plus, he's so erratic.
He's missing a few games too. He got suspended with cannabinoids.
Yeah. You would never have picked that, right? In stereotypical imports this week.
I've got Cairns here on my phone. Tough call, but I'm taking the over. I kind of like Miller. Kind of got a body like Mikhail McIntosh. Remember him from Tasmania?
Yeah.
Like Burley kind of guy. I just think I'm putting my faith in Ford.
Okay.
So I'm taking the over and you're going the under. Who's next, Kenyon? I forget, I've got my book here.
We got
Brisbane Bullets. Oh, okay. This is interesting. They finished ninth last year. They were an organizational disgrace. Yeah, there you go. They made mistakes. They were bad to players. And Sam McKinnon's got another good coup in. 8 wins, 20 losses. Offensive rating 9th and defensive rating 6th. Out goes Tyler Johnson and import Krebs and Gack. In comes Sam McDaniel, Mitch Norton, Shannon Scott, formerly of the Taipans. We just spoke about him. Isaac White and the kid Rocker. 12.5 is the line.
Did you mention Sam McDaniel coming in?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Did I say that? Yeah, I got that right. Because there's a Sean McDaniel and there's a Sam McDaniel. But this is Sam, formerly of the JJs.
Yeah,
Sam.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Kenyon, 12.5.
Look, I'm going over. I've gone big on Brizzy again.
Tell me why.
Fool me once. Oh, man. Look, I feel like there's an energy about them this year, and I think that all stems from the head coach. I think they've got a good one. I think Justin Shuler's going to do a good job with them, and it's going to be way better than the train wreck of coaching situation they had last season. I like that they've got Sobey finally off the ball with a point guard who's genuinely a point guard, Shannon Scott.
And like, Norton backing him up.
Yeah, and Norton. So there's no temptation to even play Sobey at point guard.
We have – that's why – yeah, sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, it's fine. And then I think Aaron Baines – yeah, you know, Boomer Baines gunning for a crack at the Olympics. I'm just kidding. But he'll be solid. He'll set some good screens and allow Sobey to get open for his scoring opportunities. And Sam McDaniel, as I mentioned, I think he's could be a revelation this season. He looks much more offensively minded than he's been in the past. And I think he could be in for a big one. And, of course, they got the young fella, Rocco.
Mm.
Who knows what he'll become.
A healthy Tyro Harrison blows my skirt up a bit more, but he might be fun.
Yep.
They got size and plenty to back up if Baines gets hurt again.
Yep.
Here's what I want to say. I've taken the over and I'm putting a lock on it. I don't like 12.5. It's high, but they've only got to win 5 more games than last year. And I like – tell me where they haven't improved. For years we've been saying move Sobey off the ball. Well, now they have.
Yep.
In a strong, certified way, both on court and on the bench with Norton. Baines is a big question for me. I think Scott and Norton make him better because last year he was peeled apart in pick and roll. And I feel like with Norton and Scott, who are both good defenders, you can do different stuff. They're going to fight over screens. They're going to cover his deficiency and therefore mean he can play better. And then secondly, the severity of his injury was greatly underplayed by the people who comment on this game. And they did it because they wanted an interview and they wanted the photograph for the LinkedIn and all that sort of stuff. He was badly hurt. It was irresponsible to say that he wasn't. He had physical things. I don't want to go into it too much, but the rumors I heard was it was an unpleasant year. And people were just like, no it's going to be fine. Oh, yeah, you're in hospital. You nearly died, broken your neck. He'll be fine come opening day. Ridiculous, irresponsible, bad. Despise the free lunch, Kenyon. Be honest. Not you, but I'm just saying people out there. So, but I just like how they've improved. Also, the most improved player is going to come from this team, Isaac White. How can he not? Loves to shoot it. And who doesn't like to shoot it? Both Norton and Scott. They're going to be throwing it to him. And so be it. I just think I like this team. And here's the thing. They were 6th in defensive rating. I don't see how that can go down. And therefore, this is like Moneyball. Like, he gets on base. They're going to defend. Now, they're not going to be classy, but I think they're going to eke out wins. And they'll steal games against a Perth who are a bit more flashy and the Websters haven't got it going and they go in the hole and Brisbane steal it. And they go to Southeast Melbourne who are still kind of learning and they steal one there. I feel like this is, I might even go so, I've got a bold prediction at the end, but so that's what I think. I've got my little phone here. Sorry for everyone. I'll quickly say, what were you going to say?
While you're looking at that, I'll just say, I like the look of Chris Smith as well, their import guard. Strong dude. And I just think he could be a bit of a matchup headache for some teams as well. So I like him. And then speaking of strength, you've got DJ Mitchell another season under his belt. He's a strong dude. So I think they've got a lot of parts, a lot of physical elements to their game.
Where have they gotten worse? They haven't.
They haven't.
Like Sam McDaniel, capable NBL guy. Norton. Norton was good. I mean, he eked out at that, I want to say, play-in win for the Wildcats. He's a guy who's still got something left. I like him. We both like him.
Yep.
Okay. Now.
So that wraps us up, right?
Well, there's one more. We kind of went hard on them last episode. Adelaide 36ers. Last season, they finished eighth. They spent a ton. It didn't work out. 13 and 15. Offensive rating fourth. Defensive rating ninth. Second comes right after first. Ninth comes right after 10th. Over under 8.5. It's a low number. Kenyon.
This is a lock. Under. So far under. This is the Illawarra of this season. Look at it. They're terrible.
And they sack Franklin.
Yep.
I want to read you the outs. Out goes Franks. He's sort of in and out as to whether he's a winning player, but statted well, good player. Cleveland, defensive player of the year. Ian Clark. Daniel Johnson goes out. Drimmick departs. Hiram Harris. These are all really, that's their starting five almost.
Yeah.
Other than McCarron and whoever else. In comes Jason Kadee. Make a sound to indicate in. Jason Kadee.
Make a sound?
In what like, do I do? Like, ooh, or mm.
Oh, eh.
Jamal Frank. Oh, he's gone. Sorry, I should update this. Humphreys. Trey Kell.
Sorry, you broke up there. What was that one?
Trey Kell. Jacob Wiley. Flowers.
Oh, you've totally lost. I've lost Joe. Oh, I've lost Joe to the internet robot.
Can you hear me now,
Kenny?
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
And then Flowers is the other in. I mean, so it's like, and now listen.
Is that unfair?
8.5 is a low number, but you got to think about this. Okay, how does a team lose under eight games? And the answer is they're bad, and this is a bad roster, so it ticks that box. But then also there's injuries. And who's on this team? Humphreys, who gets injured, and then also Trey Kell, who's been injured as long as we've ever known him. That, to me, is a recipe for a, you know, the Illawarra, the 3 to 5, 6 win category.
And one of the imports is like an old dude from the State League.
Starling.
Alex Starling, yeah.
I think he might be a local, though.
Oh, is he a local? Sorry, he's plays local, but he's still old, so he might get injured.
But the thing is, they've got their three locals with Cal, Wiley, and Franklin's gone. Who are they going to bring in? Franklin just was a bad pick to begin with. Yep. Didn't post numbers anywhere. No one had heard of him. And then you add in the Flowers drama and you've just got Illawarra from a couple of years ago when they won 7 games. And then you got the CJ issue. The only asterisk here, asterisk. What's the difference, Ken?
Asterisk is a cartoon character.
An
asterisk. Asterisk is a punctuation mark.
Thank you. That one is that Gleason has been an offer made and it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to upset that payout, though, that he's getting.
But that's the only thing that, if he signs on as coach, they're going to win over 8.5 games.
Probably, but they're still a terrible roster.
It's still a terrible roster, but he would definitely get that. But you can't bet that. You can't.
No.
We can't talk to that. That's only rumor. And
Joe,
that.
Joe, I've been waiting this entire episode for this. Okay. This is what the people have been holding out for. Adelaide 36ers, they are not playing basketball. They're playing basket case.
Oh, that is good. That is nice. Do you
like that one? Yeah, I came up with that myself.
Also, lying about the Franklin thing, they were going to cut him and then they get CJ to say on camera, nah. That pisses me off because you've lied to me now. So I'll say this right now. If you're in Adelaide listening, don't become a member. This is a club that lies to you, lies to your face. Don't become a member. Don't buy tickets. Vote with your feet. Drive this club into the red. Don't give liars money. The Adelaide 36ers this season are liars. If you need confirmation of that, probably go and speak to Daniel Johnson. I'm sure he'd back me up. But they lie. They look down the barrel of a camera and they lie to you. Don't buy their tickets.
There you go. And with that, NBL 23-24 kicks off. Tips off.
Thursday. Couple of days. I want to do this quickly, very quickly. MVP pick.
You know what? Screw sports bet. Milton Doyle.
I had Cotton or Doyle. Totally. Champion.
Melbourne United.
Really? I've got the JJ's or the Kings.
Okay.
Spoon.
Adelaide.
I've got Adelaide for sure, but Hawks.
Yeah. Hawks will be second. Yeah.
Top four. I've got Tasmania, Sydney, Melbourne, New Zealand, Perth. Oh, toughy, but I've got them. That's my four. Pretty confident. New Zealand and Perth kind of on the boil a bit.
My top four from one, Melbourne, Perth, Sydney, Tasmania.
I'd move Perth up over. Now that they made that signing, I'd have Tasmania, Sydney, Perth, and then Melbourne, New Zealand. I know it's five, but yeah, we all get it. And I've got, give me a Corey Homicide Williams. A career homicide, your most assertive take. We love Homicide here. We hope he's going well. Have you got a really declarative pick? My big sort of like Corey Williams, bang the table. The Bullets can make the top four.
Okay.
They can make it. If they play the D, I think they're going to play. I think they can be a top four team.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Declarative. Wow, that's pretty good.
Have a think about it. Just see if I've got anything else here. Or while you're thinking, the NBL, a reminder, everyone, in July of 2021 signed a 3-year, $45 million, reportedly, deal with ESPN. That runs out at the end of the season. And I don't know if you've read the papers recently, but ESPN are in a bit of trouble as to their future with Disney and Foxtel. Foxtel and ESPN did a very under-the-table, very secretive re-upping. So there's a big year for the NBL and whether it stays with ESPN. I noticed that tonight ESPN couldn't fit overtime into the schedule, which is peculiar, but these things happen. A reminder about this podcast. We're going down to bi-weekly. There's just not enough in the NBL for every week. So we're going to do it every 2 weeks, every Tuesday. Genuine, independent, no sports nerds here. Casuals, good place to be if you like to consume the NBL, but just that right amount of appetite. Follow at NBL Pocket Pod on the pod, or subscribe and Twitter. And I think each week we're going to nominate our games of the weeks. So we're going to give two games of the week that you should keep your attention on.
I've got my homicide.
Give me it.
Okay. I don't know what it is about the name Bruton in Australian basketball, but they get screwed. Cal got screwed in Perth. His son CJ. You're about to get screwed in Adelaide, my friend. You are going to be lucky to see out 6 weeks of this season.
Oh, wow.
Get a lawyer. Lawyer up.
Better get a lawyer, son. Get a real good one. Last thing, man, this season. The next stars get the headlines because I think it's easy fodder for writers to then pitch off to the NBA and the Ringer and try and get a gig there. The next stars get all the headlines, but NBL 24 will hinge on who of Bryce Cotton, Jalen Adams, Mitch Creek, Milton Doyle, and William McDowell White and Ian Clark, who can carry their team to victory on occasion, who can make their teammates better. That's what the NBL is about. And we are very excited to watch it. I don't want to speak for Kenya, but I'm excited to watch it.
I'm always excited to watch it.
All right, Kenya, you got the last word. We're out. Enjoy the season, everyone. Starts Thursday. I think it's Melbourne. Southeast Melbourne is becoming the tradition on opening day.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes, and in honour of Scottie Pippen being in town, I'm going to say, this is the NBL Podcast. Signing out.